Well, brethren, amongst Bible students and Christians, we've had very few instructions as far as special occasions and ceremonies. The memorial annually, which is a leading encounter for us all, indeed. And baptism. That's it. And so, Jeremy, this is one of the times that we have this grand privilege of thinking on this occasion, and we thank the Lord for it. And we look forward to the day when there will be the last one, but we won't know what that is. But there will be the last one. Now, the door is still open. All the evidences are there. And so the privilege remains. But the texts that we'll consider are simple, straightforward, just the way we want them to be when we're making life-altering, eternal decisions. Luke 14, we'll take it from Jesus' own words. In Luke 14, the setting is that there had been the crowds that had followed Jesus. And he had been feeding them. And it was all part of a bigger plan. But the time came when Jesus was particularly interested in putting forth the kingdom message. And the kingdom message of that time was preparing the crowds for when the high calling would shortly be opened. And in verse 25, we read, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consults whether or not he's able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he should send ambassadors and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." So let's take what Jesus has just outlined here. He plainly stated that we would have to love less our family, our friends, and our own life more. We have to love it less than we love Jesus. We have to love Jesus more. We have to love the Heavenly Father, whom Jesus was obedient to. We, if we're going to be true disciples, footstep followers of Jesus, we have to do what he did. And this is what he was willing to do. And he adds to that as well that there's a cross bearing. And this is very marked because it's a prophetic utterance. Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. But the cross bearing was foretelling the experience of Jesus hanging on the cross as the ultimate symbol of the completeness of his sacrifice, that is, even unto death. Painful, difficult, but complete. And so this cross-bearing, in a prophetic sense, Jesus said, is something we much each bear in our own lives. So we will face, as disciples of his, experiences that are difficult, that are common to man, and yet there's experiences that are difficult that we enter into willingly because we're Christians, because we're following Jesus' example. We could avoid these cross-bearing experiences because that's not common to man. We can't avoid the common to man experiences and trials. That's good and right. How we deal with those, what's our attitude, and how we conduct ourselves through those trials, it's extremely important. But Jesus is going beyond that. He's talking about what he went beyond. And that is the experiences that cause us hardship and difficulty, maybe health, time, money, friendships, whatever it may be, that we sacrifice specifically for His sake, for the Heavenly sake, Heavenly Father's sake, for the truth's sake. That's cross-bearing experiences, and we must have those, but we seek those out. Now, Jesus said in these two parables, He gave examples of starting something but not being able to finish it. Building a tower or going to war. Don't start either if you don't have the desire to finish it. That's the beauty. It's not that we have the ability to finish it. The ability is really with the Lord strengthening us. And we'll look at verses on that. But it's really the desire to finish it. Now, in this, Jesus said, count the cost first. Count the cost first. Just don't start if you don't think you have the desire to finish. And with that, I have to say this would be the perfect place that if there was a burning hell, or if this life was the only life that humans ever got a chance to gain life eternal, if this was the only opportunity, Jesus wouldn't have said, count the cost. He would have said, it's now or never. But He said, count the cost. This is a present truth concept that Jesus imparted right here. Because this gospel age that Jesus was opening up, the heavenly calling that was about to be opened to others, He Himself had already embarked on it, our forerunner. What He is really saying in all of this is a privilege, a call to be My disciple. It's not mandatory. This is a free will offering. You gotta want to follow Me. You gotta want to sacrifice these other interests. And if so, welcome. You can enter in. Maybe the tower represents giving up, as it were, all the material aspects that we might possess in order to serve the Lord's cause, even though we still need to provide for our material needs. It's all is done unto the Lord hereafter. Maybe the warfare, going off to war, is just demonstrating all the energy and time that we'll put into fighting the good Christian fight. And if so, those are the good things. Those are the right things. It will cost us, and yet the reward is beautiful. Now let's take that and turn to Matthew 11. Let's stay with our Master's expressions on this. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus words it this way. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. We all feel the burden of sin. We all feel the burden of being separated from God. We all feel the burden of our failures and our insufficiencies. And blessedly, the Heavenly Father has given us a means to be delivered from that burden, and that is coming to the Father through the Son. So when we come to Jesus, the way to really experience the lifting of that burden of sin guilt is to come to Him with all our heart. In full confidence that this is what the Heavenly Father has provided, and this is what Jesus has willingly provided. And if we come with that kind of faith, then we can rest. It's a rest of faith. It's a Sabbath rest, as it were, that we don't have to trust to our faulty works to try to prove to God that we're worthy. We can't. And the Lord knows that. And so He's provided a way that we can come to Him, trusting in what Jesus has done for us, and yet He has given us something we can do to demonstrate that indeed we appreciate this salvation, and yet there's something we can do in return. We can participate with Jesus in helping restore the rest of our fellow man so that they too can experience what it's like to come out from underneath this burden of sin and guilt. And that's the future work that we're invited to be in training for now. So that's where the yoke comes in. That's what the yoke's all about. It's what we might say the yoke of consecration. It's the yoke of discipleship. Now, I know you can have a yoke with one, but in my mind's eye, this is a yoke with two. It's Jesus in us. But just as if you put a bullock with a donkey, which the law says you're not to, because they would pull unequally. But in this situation, it's Jesus in us. It's a team. We follow him. He's our leader. He's our elder brother. He's the captain of our salvation. But he's pulling the load. We're in the yoke with him, and we follow along. In this yoke, it keeps us from going astray. An ox that was let loose to roam at will is not going to stay pulling the plow down the row. He's going to wander off to eat here and eat there. And so, too, that's how the rest of the world of mankind is. They're wandering off here and they're wandering off there. But in this, we're privileged. The yoke is a fantastic blessing. It sounds like work, but it's a good work. It's the best work. It's character development work. And it guides us in the way in which we should go. It gives us a straight road to hope. And the thing about Christian discipleship is it is work. It does take hard effort, but it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. We now have a purpose for all we do in life. The highest purpose. That has a reward that no money can pay for. Now, along this line, Jesus says, learn of me, for he is meek and lowly in heart. The humility factor of the Christian cannot be overstated. The humility factor of a Christian, we cannot overstate. It's always a continual life of understanding how to appreciate that so much has been done for us. We're just privileged to have some little opportunities of service that does show we're in heart harmony with all that's been done for us. The rest for our souls, here again, is a rest from the burden of guilt. It's the rest for wondering, what will I do with my life? It's a rest from wondering, what will come of me? Because that's all now turned over to the Lord. We're his. He's really in control. We're just finding out how to follow him through all our various weaknesses and earthly responsibilities that we all try to put under his control. And working that out then becomes our task. The yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that has really been the testimony of all the saints. Yesterday, when we asked a couple of the brother and the sister how long they've been in the narrow way, and one was over 60 years, one was over 65 years, and they're here with us, and we rejoice, and they're rejoicing in God, and that's a testimony to us. The yoke is easy, and the burden is light. Well, we'll also get another example of the Master's words. Matthew, the 13th chapter. In a series of parables, we'll just pick out one short one, two verses. It's verse 45 and 46. Jesus stated, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What was Jesus imparting here? What lesson? Well, the kingdom of heaven, we're remembering that Jesus is opening up this high calling. The thought is that there are many pearls. There are many things of value in which we could spend our time doing in life. Some to great profit. Some could be a great benefit to others. And those are good things. But this merchant man recognized that there was one singular pearl that was so expensive, if he bought this one, he wouldn't have anything left to buy the others. It cost him all, it said. That is our consecration. It will cost us all. Just like the Master said when we read in Luke 14, it's going to cost us all, even the love of our own life. And so in this, again, it's like counting the cost. The merchant surveys the pearl, surveys life, surveys what would be the most important thing they could do. It's the greatest work I could invest myself into. Should I just buy multiple lesser important pearls? Or should I invest in the one great pearl? And the master's instructions, encouragement in this parable is the one great pearl. It's worth all that we have, and far more. And so that is, as we say, our consecration. It is that pearl of great price. It is the yoke that is easy. It's the rest we find for our souls. It's having counted the cost and realizing that we don't have to do this. If we do this, we're giving up all our right to come back on earth with the rest of Adam's children. We're sacrificing that. And we are willing to sacrifice our future restitution rights with mankind. We're giving up our right to come back on earth in the peaceable kingdom and walk up the highway of holiness with mankind. But we're exchanging that for the goal and the hope of entering into the narrow way. And straight is that way. It's part of that yoke. It's showing our consecration is to be our laser focus of our attention. But there's only a few that find that. There's only a few who are willing to enter into that way. And the rest of mankind, as we said, they'll come up on that third way, that highway into the future. And there's blessings for mankind there. But they'll have foregone the privilege of being Jesus' disciple now. They'll have foregone the privilege of seeing the Heavenly Father face to face. They'll forego the privilege of being the potential bride to the Lamb, to be joint heirs with Jesus in the Abrahamic promise of blessing all the families. They give up the privilege of being part of the absolute truth, complete solution to all the problems facing mankind. These grand privileges are lost. That's what's given up. The vast majority of mankind don't even realize what they're missing. Their interest isn't there. But for those of us who have been enlightened to this extent, and you're counting the cost, which is more important to me from here on out, for all eternity, there's no turning back. We think the decision to move forward as Christ's disciple is an individual decision, but the testimony of those here is the best decision. We'll look at one more verse. It's Peter, in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, in verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. Now, the rest of the context is, of course, excellent. But we just want to focus on this point. Here's the calling. Here's the heavenly calling. Here's the calling in a nutshell, if I could so say. Christ suffered for us. He left an example to us, his body members, that we might know how we are to live our life. It's a life of following Jesus. And you've had this experience. You've lived in the Midwest. When you walk through the snow, and there's four or five of you walking, we all know when the snow is deep, the best way is to follow in a single line. And you just put your foot in the footprints that have already compacted the snow in front of you. It's less taxing. So with us, we're following Jesus' footsteps. He's made it easier for us. Because all we have to do, when I say all we have to do, I understand it's a big all. All we have to do is follow his example. Try to to learn from our experiences what really was more successful for us in following Jesus' example. We have to study Jesus. Fortunately, the scriptures are full. The Old and New Testament are full about Jesus. We study that. We learn that. Then, God in His graciousness gives us the privilege of making mistakes. But as the sign once said that we read, what's the use or point of making mistakes unless we learn by it? So the righteous man falls seven times to arise. That's the righteous man. It's getting back up after each failure. Getting back up. Staying in that discipleship attitude. Repenting and moving forward. Keep looking for those footsteps to follow. Get back in the path. Readjust the yoke. Move forward. And by the Lord's grace, He brings us off victors in the end. So, with that, we'd like to ask, along with Brother Jeremy, is there anyone else who would like to symbolize their consecration by water immersion at this time? Please come forward here. So, Jeremy, I'd like to ask you three questions. More important than you have the microphone than me.
Yes. Okay.
Jeremy, do you acknowledge that you're a son of Adam and therefore have hereditary sin?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Have you accepted Jesus as your Redeemer?
Most definitely. Every day I acknowledge Jesus. Every day that I need Him. I can't do nothing without Him. Nothing. I can't even stand on my own 2 feet.
Have you made an unreserved decision in your life to serve the Heavenly Father and to follow the Lord Jesus, to give up your own will in order to take on His will for now and forever, even unto death?
Absolutely. Till the day I die. I have made my vows to the Lord in my own personal time. Just me and the Heavenly Father.
Based on those positive comments, we'd like to extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Brother Jeremy, did you want to still say a few words? We might want to limit them, but
yes.
Okay. Love you, brother.
You might need to push that mute off.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm very, very thankful to be here, and I'm glad to be part of the brother now. But I have really have been counting costs, as Scripture says. And I've attended, this will be my third convention, I do believe, here at the Harvest. And for those 3 years, I have been counting costs, and really, really been thinking about it. And I finally came to the decision. And I do realize that I am applying Christ's merit now in this life to strive to be a part of the high calling, to be wedlock with our Redeemer. Please forgive me if I lose it. But it's a wonderful prize to be a part of. And Lord willing, please let me make my call and election short. And Father, I promise to you that I will try my best to be all that you have created me to be. And to do your will. And Father, I thank you from the first experience that you've already given to me in my 4 months of consecration. And as hard as it was to let go of my now ex-fiance, I praise you, Lord. Thank you so much. Because I know that you overruled that situation for my better good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Having known you, I know those words were directly from the heart. And I know all here haven't had the privilege of understanding your story of what has occurred in your life. But there's a reason for that. And the reason is fairly apparent now. So we'll all extend the right hand of fellowship to you soon by this symbol, and we'd ask for you and Brother Sean to Brother Sean to head toward the pool, and we'll sing a few hymns. Brother Richard will be leading us in hymns. We won't say a closing prayer here. We'll do it at the pool. And once again, just to go over how we're going to do this, we want to take our hymn books with us so that we can all sing the hymns with Brother Richard. But we'd like to make sure that the parents would please kind of just contain their children around the pool to understand the importance of this symbol. And giving respect to the Lord. Also, please watch your step. You can see where Jeremy is right now. There's stones, truck, and some other things. Those who are aged, we'd ask for those who are younger to help those who are aged. And we now leave this to Brother Richard, and then
we're going to start singing the gospel,
right? We'll continue our service there. So we'll ask everybody to uniformly and with less ado than normal, head in that direction, around the house and to the pool.